Satu. Dua.
We intentionally create a punishment that others can witness. This is in order to make an impact so that the violations are not repeated.
That's all the devil. That's what Hitler did, and that's what communism did. Got the mind of the children.
No one wants to be transgendered. We don't choose it. We're born like it. If it's the work of the devil, then by their works shall you know them.
Prejudice has no hold in this republic.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. A gay Irish Indian will be Ireland's next PM. Homophobic hatred and horror infect Indonesia. And McGregor volleys court's bigoted serve. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Monique Lukens.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending June 3rd, 2017. The openly gay son of an Indian immigrant and an Irish mother is set to be the next prime minister of the heavily Roman Catholic Republic of Ireland. Leo Varadkar will also, at the age of 38, be the youngest Irish prime minister in history. He won the election to lead the governing Fine Gael party on June 2nd, replacing the LGBTQ-supportive Enda Kenny, who announced his departure earlier this year after 15 years in that post. Varadkar is a doctor by profession and was first elected to Parliament at the age of 27. He previously served as the government's Minister for Social Protection and Minister for Health. He was an outspoken leader in the campaign for marriage equality in Ireland in 2015, coming out in the process. He helped make Ireland the first country in the world to open civil marriage to same-gender couples through a public vote. He's far from a flaming liberal, however. The Guardian newspaper describes his political ideology as, by Irish standards, centre-right.
I think if my election as leader of Fine Gael today has shown anything,
Varadkar said in his leadership victory speech,
it is that prejudice has no hold in this republic.
He expanded on those thoughts during a subsequent press conference.
Ireland is a wonderful country, and it is the kind of country that if people are given the opportunity to succeed, they can succeed. And really any child growing up in Ireland now, I hope, looks at me and my unlikely story and my background and everything about me and perhaps says to themselves that there is no office in this state that they can't aspire to, nothing that they can't do if they believe in themselves.
Soon after launching his campaign for the leadership post, Varadkar introduced his boyfriend, Dr. Matt Barrett. When a reporter asked if Barrett would play a prominent role in his administration, Varadkar said no, pointing out that the pair had only been dating for 2 years and that they weren't even married. Varadkar joins married Luxembourg Prime Minister Xavier Bettel as the only currently serving out head of state. Openly lesbian and married Johanna Sigurðardóttir served as Iceland's prime minister from 2009 to 2013. And openly gay Elio Di Rupo was Belgium's prime minister from 2011 to 2014.
The Chicago-based 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued what activists are calling a landmark ruling on May 30th, affirming the right of a trans student to use the campus bathroom that conforms to his gender identity. 17-year-old Ash Whitaker used the boys' bathroom during his junior year at a Kenosha, Wisconsin high school with no problem. But after a teacher complained, the school administration told Whitaker that he had to either use the girls' bathroom or a gender-neutral bathroom in the administration building. Agreeing with the lower court decision, the appellate judges noted that the school's decision alienated Whitaker from his peers and caused him educational and emotional harm. They decided that the differential treatment was a clear violation of Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 that prohibits bias based on race, national origin, and sex. Judge Anne Claire Williams wrote for the unanimous court that not allowing a trans student to use the restroom that most closely matches their sense of self punishes that individual for his or her gender nonconformance. But the ruling went beyond the enforcement of Title IX. It said the actions by the school violated the Equal Protections Clause of the 14th Amendment, thereby arguing that gender identity is protected by the U.S. Constitution. While the Seventh Circuit's jurisdiction only extends to Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, activists say the ruling could impact transgender rights nationwide. Most observers expect the issue to eventually be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court.
In other news, a peaceful LGBT pride march in Moldova's capital city of Chisinau in late May was stopped by police officials after just a few hundred meters to avoid what they feared would be a violent confrontation with religious fundamentalist counter-protesters. The rights opponents were part of a traditional family festival that was being held in the city on the same day. The counter-protesters, led by Orthodox priests holding up signs that read, "Gay parade to hell," had already started pelting the marchers with eggs. Police herded them onto two buses that then left the area. A group of fundamentalist protesters violently shut down a similar pride march in Chisinau last year. The slogan of this year's aborted march was, "Without fear," a bold statement in a country that offers no protections to its LGBT citizens. In reaction to the planned march, the Eastern European nation's president, Igor Dodon, told reporters that, "I have never promised to be the president of the gays. They should have elected their own president."
Police in China's northwestern city of Xi'an briefly detained 9 activists this week who had organized an LGBTQ rights conference. Some 400 people were expected to attend, according to the sponsoring group Speak Out. Xi'an is a major tourist destination and is considered to be one of the cradles of Chinese civilization. The event had already run into problems as venues the group had booked canceled on them. The police detentions were the last straw, and organizers reluctantly canceled the conference. One of the activists told Reuters that police officials told him that the city did not welcome gay people, although he said they refused to give him an official reason for shutting down the conference. Social media was on fire soon thereafter. Many users of China's Twitter, like Weibo, expressed anger at city officials for setting an intolerant example for the rest of the country, especially in light of last week's advent of marriage equality in Taiwan.
But there appears to be a schizophrenic approach toward LGBT dating sites in China. A Beijing company has purchased the remaining shares of Grindr after acquiring 62% of the gay male hookup app last year. But the government has apparently shut down a dating app for lesbians, Rayla, which claimed about 5 million users. There is speculation that the action might be in retaliation for the Shanghai-based company's support for a group of mothers of LGBT people in the city seeking same-gender mates for their kids at a traditional marriage market in late May.
France has welcomed its first gay refugee from the mostly Muslim Russian region of Chechnya. The unidentified man arrived in the country on May 29th. That was the same day that Russian President Vladimir Putin arrived in Paris for his first official meeting with newly elected French President Emmanuel Macron. Macron said that he pressed Putin about multiple reports of more than 300 men thought to be gay being rounded up, sent to so-called gay concentration camps, and tortured until they provide the names of all their gay friends. The Russian president reportedly claimed that he was investigating the whole truth about reports of the genocidal abuse that he previously described as rumors. Human Rights Watch issued its own comprehensive report last week documenting the atrocities. Lithuania became the first country on the planet to welcome gay Chechen refugees last week.
Meanwhile, Russia's foreign minister insisted this week that there is not a single concrete fact to verify that a gay purge is going on in Chechnya. Speaking at a news conference broadcast by Agence France-Presse, Sergei Lavrov flatly rejected accusations of rights abuses of LGBT representatives in Chechnya or other parts of the Russian Federation. And Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov accused European leaders this week of using what he called fake news reports of a gay purge to distract from their own problems at home. He specifically challenged Germany's Angela Merkel and France's Emmanuel Macron, each of whom has raised the issue directly with Vladimir Putin, to personally visit the region and find proof of the gay pogrom. He also accused all who sympathize with them of stirring up pathetic nausea on the side of a stranger. Demonstrations against the purge continue in cities around the world. A Hong Kong benefit event on June 2nd raised donations of money and air miles to help gay men get out of Russia. And out actor and activist Sir Ian McKellen joined veteran troublemaker Peter Tatchell and about 100 others in a small protest outside the Russian embassy in London on the same day.
But finally, a perhaps unlikely group has joined the Campaign for Marriage Equality in Germany, the Liberal Islamic Association. The country currently offers less than equal civil partnerships to same-gender couples. Chancellor Angela Merkel has resisted changing the status quo. In a statement, the progressive Muslim group argues that, in the Arabic original, the Quran does not talk of man and woman, but uses the word azwaj, which means pair, parts of a pair, partner, or spouse. The fathering of offspring, they added, is also not named as the primary spirit and purpose of a partnership in the verse. They also specifically challenged Merkel's resistance to marriage equality. If you argue that the spirit and purpose of marriage is offspring, then marriage has to be banned for example, retired people or infertile heterosexual couples too. If you argue children need to grow up with both genders as parents, they say, then single parenthood would need to be banned. Even today, the group notes, children are raised by homosexual couples. No study proves this endangers children. Again, citing the Quran, they write that, wealth and children are but adornment of the worldly life, but the enduring good deeds are better to your Lord for reward and better for one's hope.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 3rd, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org. You can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Anique Lukens.
The first person to liken anyone to a Nazi generally loses an argument. I'm almost delighted she's done that.
An Australian ex-tennis star did do it, and a trans sports reporter hits that ball out of the court later in the program. There's a struggle going on for the soul of Indonesia. The LGBT community is caught between the nation's more democratic leanings and hardline conservative vigilantes that may even have connections to ISIS. Nicole Kirby of KBR Jakarta shares this report.
You're listening to Asia Calling KBR. Last week was a particularly devastating one for Indonesia's lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community. When police raided a Jakarta sauna, 141 men were detained in humiliating conditions and naked photos of them circulated online. While in the country's northern province of Aceh, two men were publicly caned, the first time homosexuality has been punished in such a way in Indonesia. This report is from KBR Jakarta. And a warning that this feature contains some explicit language that some listeners may find disturbing.
Dimulai dari satu, dua, tiga.
Two men stand on a stage dressed in white robes. Their heads are hung as a cane lashes their back over and over again, 83 times. One winces in pain, the other remains stoic. Outside Shuhada Mosque, Aceh, thousands of people have gathered to watch. They're shouting insults and cheering. The men are being punished for their sexuality. In March, vigilantes broke in the door to their rented room and found the men in bed together, filmed them naked, and then circulated the video online. One of the men, 20 years old, has since been forced to leave university and his medical studies. Aceh is the only Indonesian province to practice Sharia law and the only province where homosexuality is illegal.
This is the first case of sodomy. We have caned them because there's enough proof that they violated Sharia law.
That's Yuznia, head of Bandar Aceh Municipal Police and the Task Force for Enforcement of Sharia Law. He says Aceh police consider caning an effective punishment for immoral behaviour.
We're imposing a social sanction and physical punishment. We intentionally create a punishment that others can witness. This is in order to make an impact so that the violations are not repeated. Corporal punishment is normal, and if it is public, it has a domino effect.
But human rights groups across the country strongly reject the action. Muhammad Nokoron is a special rapporteur with the National Commission on Human Rights.
The killing is a violation of human rights and degrading to human dignity. Punishment must go through a clear, transparent process and must be consistent with human rights. Moreover, the killing punishment was done on suspicion only. The proof is not clear. It is discriminates towards same-sex couples.
The men were sentenced to 85 lashes, but 2 months in prison replaced 2 lashes, and the men finally received 83. Another 8 people were caned on the same day, punishment for being alone with a member of the opposite sex. But Lini Zulia of LGBT advocacy group Arus Palangi says this is a clear case of discrimination.
From those 5 couple, 4 couple only got 30 lashes, but the gay couple, they got 85 lashes. So that's the first discrimination that we see in this process. Another is legal aid. So actually our friends in Aceh, they don't get any fair trial. It was very fast because no legal aid, no lawyer that can help them.
Since early last year, homophobia has become more virulent and more brazen across Indonesia. Growing hostility towards Indonesia's largely discreet LGBT community is being felt in many ways. Transgender people report being denied medical care and housing, for instance. And just 2 days before the caning, a Jakarta sauna was raided by police. 141 men were detained. The men were taken to the police station, many naked and some barely dressed. Photos and videos of the naked men in police custody spread like wildfire, which Lini says is likely to have devastating personal impact.
They may get fired from the workplace. They may might get isolated by the family. They might get bullied from the society after the inhuman action by the police.
Homosexuality is not illegal outside of Aceh. Most of the 141 men have been released, but 10 are still in custody, facing ambiguous charges of pornography.
It was a horrible experience for all of us. It was a desperate time for me, myself.
Andres told me he realized his friend was arrested in the raid when he saw his photos on social media. When he visited his friend, who's detained at the police station, Andres says they were both ridiculed, taunted, and harassed by police.
I got bullied, me and my friend got bullied, verbal abusive. The most painful thing was when the policeman asked me to oral sex his friend. Like, do you want to oral sex him, pointing at his friend?
Another policeman.
Yes, another policeman. It was very hurtful.
The raid on Atlantis Gym and Sauna is the 3rd raid on a so-called gay party this year. While vigilante groups spearheaded the 2 previous raids in Jakarta and Surabaya, Lini says they're all part of a sustained attack.
We saw that the pattern was very similar, and we assume that this situation, like a precondition on criminalization process in the Constitutional Court and in the Parliament.
Indonesia's entire criminal code is currently under review, and conservatives are pushing to criminalise homosexuality and extramarital sex in the process. After the caning, police in Indonesia's most populous province, West Java, announced a special task force to target LGBT people. It will utilise intelligence services, and police have urged residents to report any suspected LGBT activity. After a tough week, Andres is still supporting his friend in police custody. And like other LGBT Indonesians, he's doing his best to hold it together.
I am angry, sad, desperate also. But somehow deep down in myself that I will not allow those feelings to go out because I have to give my friends the positive vibes that I have.
For Asia Calling, this report is from KBR Jakarta.
Thanks to Nicole Kirby for that report. Indonesia's Constitutional Court is expected to rule in the next few weeks on whether homosexuality should officially be criminalized.
I'm diddly-day, an actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well, right here on this station.
Tennis is full of lesbians because even when I was playing, there was only a couple there, but those couple that led that took young ones into parties and things.
Shall we assume that Margaret Court did not get invited to those parties when she was Australia's reigning tennis queen in the 1960s and 70s? Now Court is a fundamentalist Christian pastor, and she opened a can of worms last week when she wrote a letter to Perth's West Australian newspaper announcing that she would be boycotting Qantas to protest the outspoken support for marriage equality by the airline and its openly gay CEO, Alan Joyce. As the controversy began to boil, Court doubled down on her views in an interview on Christian Vision Radio.
The mind is a battlefield. And it's all in the Bible. God's got so much in there about the mind, how it affects us, affects our emotions, our feelings. And you can think, oh, I'm a boy, and it'll affect your emotions and feelings and everything else. And so that's all the devil. Well, that is a devil, but that's what Hitler did, and that's what communism did. Got the mind of the children. And it's a whole plot in our nation and in the nations of the world to get the mind of the children.
Lesbian tennis icon Martina Navratilova led the chorus of athletes denouncing Court's homophobia and transphobia. Calls have gone out to strip her name from the Melbourne stadium that honors her career, and an online petition to that end has more than 8,000 signatures as of this report. Court insists that the campaign against her is a U.S. gay lobby-funded conspiracy. World number one player Andy Murray says that he and other players may refuse to participate in the Australian Open at Court Arena if there's no decision by January. But trans cricket commentator and writer Kate McGregor told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's The Drum that she has a different strategy in mind.
Airbrushing a great player out of Australia's sporting history by removing her name from that arena would be a mistake. I think it's a strategic mistake for the LGBTI community to pile onto her, given that her views, as repugnant as I find them, are clearly in accordance with the teachings of her faith and their bona fide held. I think she has absolutely overstepped any support from theology or religion in some of her discursive remarks about the families of transgendered kids and that transgenderism is some kind of parental failure. I know a lot of families with young kids who are grappling with gender issues. They're loving families. The kids are loved to bits. And those parents only want one thing. They want two things. They want their child to be happy, and primarily they want them to not kill themselves. The risk of self-harm amongst kids who are experiencing this kind of conflict doesn't need to be compounded by this sort of gratuitous, unsubstantiated nonsense. The first person to liken anyone to a Nazi generally loses an argument. I'm almost delighted she's done that. And I would have thought talking about the LGBTI community in respect of grooming children for sex is pretty poor taste coming from a Christian clergywoman. The free speech element, though, is important because the pile-on last week strategically helped her. It gave prominence to her views and it rendered her a victim. Trans people are probably a maximum about 2% of the population. We face enormous ridicule, discrimination. No one wants to be transgendered. We don't choose it, we're born like it. If it's the work of the devil, then by their works shall ye know them. I went to bed last night not having made the life of any other Australian miserable, to the extent that I at least am aware of. And this woman has to look at her conscience and live with her remarks and ask herself as a Christian when she examines her conscience, has she dealt with us lovingly? She says she loves homosexuals but not their sin. I think the onus is now on the media and other people to question that very deeply. And I'll close on this. The last thing that really sickens me about this is the constant obsession of this strand of fundamentalist Christianity with LGBTI people. We're all sinners, according to the teachings of both the Old and New Testaments. We're all broken in our humanity. I happen to be a believer. To think that I arrived at my life decision without a process of agonizing discernment is a gratuitously offensive thing to say to me when she has no experience of my life or my parental background. I don't ever hear her going on about adultery. I don't hear her lecturing people on their second marriage as adulterers, because she'd lose half the Australian population if she did. But we're the low-hanging fruit. You can kick us to death to the applause of the mainstream media and ramp up solicitations for money, as I saw her doing on, or saw her acolytes doing on Christian radio the other day. And it's frankly sick-making. And I respect this woman for her achievements. I oppose efforts to boycott the Australian Open or to rename that arena because it smacks of Stalinist airbrushing of someone's history, and that's making them an unperson, and it's wrong. But I would ask her to think very heavily and examine her conscience about the impact these remarks have on a very small minority of Australians whose lives are difficult enough without this kind of stuff. I don't think persecuting a 74-year-old Christian pastor is actually going to take us anywhere. She was a living national treasure for a while, and piling onto her is going to erode our moral authority. All we can do is be visible and be proud and not break under the strain of this and just live our lives authentically. And we've got to be better than she is. That's the crazy double standard. We've actually got to show dignity when she's not required to.
That was trans sports writer Kate McGregor speaking out on Australia's Margaret Court controversy. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week, Wenzel Jones and Monique Lukens contributed program material, with special thanks to Nicole Kirby and KBR Jakarta, a tip of the TW Roll hat to Frieda Worden and her wings, and thanks as always to Steve Pride. Bronski Beat performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Woolson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Look for This Way Out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 5UV Adelaide, South Australia, WGOT Gainesville, Florida, KRZA Alamosa, Colorado, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.